Howdy, howdy. This is Lily from Madecraft Game, and you're listening to Season 3 of Reading Rulebooks. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out madecraftgame.com for more content. This season, I accidentally planned a ton of Nitzia games, so I figured, why not dive in and do a whole Nitzia season? And I think this is going to be the last episode of the season, so I wanted to finish off with a game I know nothing about and seemed like a short, sweet read, and that is Through the Desert. First time setup. Before your first game, assemble the five riders of each color and attach them to one camel of each color. Also assemble each of the five oasis markers. The riders are never removed from the camels, even if not used in the game. Components. A. 5 liter color markers. B. 25 liters, 5 per player. C. 175 camels, 35 of each color. D. 5 largest caravan tokens. E. 5 oasis markers. F. 45 watering hole tokens. G. 45 5-point tokens. H. 1 double-sided board, mountain map, and river map. Setup. 2 players. Don't use the shaded area of the map. Use 22 of each color camel. Use all the leaders. 3 players. Don't use the shaded area of the map. Use 26 of each color camel. Use all the leaders. 4 player. Use the entire map. Use all camels. Use all leaders. 5 players. Use the entire map. Use all camels. Each player returns 1 liter of a different color to the box. Decide whether to use the mountain or river side of the game board. Pile the 5-point tokens, largest caravan tokens, and camels, separated by color, nearby. With 2 to 3 players, return some of the camels to the box, as discussed earlier. 2. Randomly choose 5 oasis hexes, signified by a palm tree symbol, on the map, and place an oasis marker, or palm tree, on each of them. 3. Shuffle the watering hole tokens. Place a random token on every watering hole hex on the map, and the side matching the map terrain face up. Also, place a watering hole token on each oasis hex that doesn't have an oasis marker. With 2 to 3 players, only 1 oasis hex will not have a palm tree, since 1 oasis hex is in the shaded area. 4. Each player takes a leader-colored marker and their 5 leaders, camels with riders. The last player to take a drink of water is the first player. With 5 players, each player returns 1 liter to the box. Each player must choose a different color to return. Note: villages symbolized with tent icons around the outside of the map and marketplaces marked with star icons on certain hexes are used in expansions and should be ignored when playing the base game. Objective: control 5 caravans of different colors and lead them through the Sahara Desert to find water and claim territory. Cleverly place camels to extend each of your 5 caravans and block opponents. Score points for visiting waterholes and oases, enclosing areas, and having the largest caravan. Place leaders. Players start the game by placing their caravan leaders. Starting with the first player and going clockwise, players take turns placing 1 leader at a time until each player has placed all of their leaders. On your first turn placing a leader, you must choose a different camel than each player who placed before you, if possible. On each following turn, you may place a leader of any color. You can only place a leader in a hex that doesn't have an oasis marker, watering hole token, or other leader. Mountains and villages aren't in hexes. You can't place a leader next to an oasis marker or other leaders. Next to watering holes is allowed. Game turns. Once all leaders have been placed, players begin placing camels to extend their caravans. Players continue taking turns clockwise. Each turn, the active player must place 2 camels of any color. They may be the same or different colors. The first two players in turn order, or player one in a two-player game, each only plays one camel on their first turn. Afterwards, they place two camels per turn as normal. You can only place a camel in a hex that doesn't have an oasis marker, leader, or other camel. Placing on watering holes is allowed. Each camel you place must extend your caravan of the matching color. A caravan can be placed next to another caravan of a different color, either yours or another player's. A caravan can fork in multiple directions. A caravan can never be placed next to another player's caravan of the same color. Reaching water. You can score points during the game by connecting your caravans to watering holes, oases, and the river. When you place a camel on a watering hole token, take it and place it in front of you. When you connect a caravan to an oasis marker that it's not already connected to, take a 5-point token. Multiple caravans can be connected to the same oasis marker, but can each only score it once. You can connect a single caravan to multiple oases to score each of them. When you extend a caravan across the river for the first time, take a 5-point token. Crossing the river again with the same caravan doesn't score more points. The river is only on one side of the board. Note, when a watering hole token covering oasis hex is claimed, the hex does not become an oasis. It is treated as an empty hex. Enclosing areas. You can enclose an area with a single caravan, score all watering holes and oasis markers inside it. At the end of the game, you'll score +1 point for each empty hex inside areas you've enclosed. You can enclose an area by fully surrounding it with a single caravan and the borders of the map, including mountains in the middle. Immediately claim all enclosed watering hole tokens and take 5-point tokens for each enclosed oasis marker the caravan isn't already connected to. You can't enclose areas using multiple caravans. Can't enclose an area with other camels or leaders inside it. Once an area is enclosed, no one may place camels in it, including you. Game end. When a player places the last camel of any one color, they finish their turn, and then the game ends. Players add up their final scores, and the player with the most points wins. The game also ends in the rare case that a player can't legally place a camel on their turn. Final scoring. 1. Award each 10-point caravan token to the player who has placed the most camels of each caravan color. If tied for a color, each tied player takes a 5-point token instead. 2. Add up the points on all your tokens. 3. Add +1 for each empty hex in your enclosed areas. Hexes with oasis markers don't add points for enclosed areas. Scoring example. 2 times largest caravan, teal and red, 20 points. 13 watering holes, 4 for 3 points, 6 for 2 points, and 3 for 1 point, for a total of 27 points. 5 oases, 25 points. 11 enclosed hexes, 11 points. This leaves a total of 83 points. Tips and reminders. Each player must choose a different color for their first leader. You can't place a leader next to an oasis or another leader, or on a watering hole. In a two-player game, the first player places one camel on their first turn. In a 3-to-5-player game, the first two players place one camel on their first turn. The two camels you place on your turn may be the same or different colors. If you place the last camel of a color as your first camel, you must still place a second camel before ending the game. A camel may be placed next to any camel slash leader of a different color. It may not be placed next to a camel slash leader of the same color that is in another player's caravan. You can claim a watering hole by placing a camel on it or enclosing it. Each caravan can score each oasis once, either by being placed next to it or enclosing it. Mountains and villages in the middle of the map can enclose areas. They count as map borders. If you surround an area that has another caravan inside, it doesn't count as enclosed and scores no points. And that is the main rulebook for Through the Desert. Now, they did mention the villages and marketplaces as part of an expansion, and I happen to have the Through the Desert Bazaar expansion in my hand, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. Rival Nomads. Rival nomads offer their treasures to whoever can best fulfill their desires. Components. A. 10 rival nomad cards. Setup. Place any two rival nomad cards face up near the board. You may pick them or deal randomly. Note. The river nomad can only be used with the river map. The mountain range nomad can only be used with the mountain map. Gameplay. At the end of the game, each rival nomad card is awarded to the player who best fulfilled it. Each card is worth 10 points. If two or more players tie for a card, they each get a 5-point token instead. Djinn. Visiting oases awaken mischievous djinns, who use their magic to make traversing the desert more difficult. Setup. Shuffle the djinn deck and place it face down next to the board. Components. 16 djinn cards. Gameplay. If you connect one or more caravans to an oasis marker during your turn, then at the end of your turn, you must reveal the top card of the djinn deck. Read aloud the djinn's new rule and place it face up next to the deck, covering the previous djinn card, if there is one. The face-up rule applies to all players until a new djinn is revealed. When the djinn deck is empty, reshuffle all but the last face-up card to make a new face-down deck. Note that once the first djinn is drawn, there will always be a single active djinn for the rest of the game. Note, if a djinn rule requires you to place a camel of a specific color, but you can't legally do so, you may ignore it. Playing with Special Watering Holes Expansion. The Special Watering Holes expansion contains extra camel tokens that allow the player to place an additional camel on their turn. This extra camel placement completely ignores all djinn card rules, being placed in addition to the other camels placed on the player's turn. Special Watering Holes. Not all watering holes are equal. Some can energize your caravans or provide trading opportunities. Setup. Before placing watering hole tokens, remove 7 each of the 1-point, 2-point, and 3-point tokens, 21 total, and shuffle in the special tokens to replace them. Then play as normal. Components. 21 special watering hole tokens. 12 trade goods. 9 extra camels. Gameplay. Special tokens can be claimed like other watering hole tokens, but are kept face up in front of whoever claims them. Extra camel. This token may be discarded on your turn to place one extra camel of any color. This token be used immediately when claimed. I think that sentence was supposed to say this token may be used immediately when claimed, but I read it as it was. Only one may be used each turn. Unused tokens score 0 points at the end of the game. Trade goods. At game end, score 10 points for every 2 tokens you have. Single tokens score 0 points. Bazaars. Form valuable trade routes from desert bazaars to far-off villages. Components. 9 bazaar tokens. 3 each of 15-point, 10-point, and 5-point. Setup. Sort the bazaar tokens into 3 stacks with the 5-point token on the bottom, a 10-point in the middle, and a 15-point on top. Place 1 stack on each bazaar hex on the map, marked with a star. Gameplay. When one of your caravans connects a bazaar to a village, claim the top tile on the stack and keep it face down to add to your total during scoring. A caravan is connected to a bazaar or village if it either is placed next to or encloses it, just like an oasis. Hexes next to villages are marked with a tent icon. Each caravan can claim 1 tile from each bazaar for each village it connects to. If 2 different caravans connect the same bazaar and village, they can both claim a tile. Leaders can't be placed on or next to a bazaar, but can be placed next to a village. Camels can't be placed on a hex that has bazaar tokens left. If a hex runs out of bazaar tokens, it becomes an empty hex, and a camel can be placed there, or it can be enclosed to score 1 point. And that is the rule book. At the simplest level, Through the Desert is about collecting areas. We are taking over the desert or the river by surrounding it with camels. From what I can tell, my current understanding of the game is that when you place a camel on a watering hole token, you will take it and put it in front of you face down. This means that the other players won't know if it's a 1-point, 2-point, or 3-point marker. So this is the randomness that I'm seeing in this game, because everything else is trackable. Oasis is 5 points. All the expansions are either a set amount of points or have the 15, 10, 5, which I guess is also a set amount of points, but just a little bit more dynamically changed. So like many Nitzia games, it's pretty easy to tell who's in what position, but I do think the addition of the watering hole tokens adds a bit of noise that would otherwise not be there. Overall, this rulebook is pretty good. The setup table is nice. There's a lot of picture examples to show you what is correct and what is not correct. Almost every sentence had a picture attached to it, which I think can be very helpful for some people who are very visual learners. I am going to criticize some of the writing. There's not many rule books that will make me straight up break during the reading, but this one did. The sentence, "This token be used immediately when claimed," just... come on. How did no one catch that? It's impressive. I actually have a bit of an issue with the sentence, not just because of how bad it is written, but the intention of it, I feel like, is a little obscured, because the word may or must can easily be slotted into that sentence, and those are two very different sentences. Now, I'm going to assume it is may, because only one token can be used each turn. So if you gain two, you can't use both of them, which leads me to believe that the token may be used immediately when claimed. I think what's interesting is the original base game is a very straightforward area control, enclosed areas, kind of like a Go vibe, but with camels, and has that little bit of noise with the watering holes. The expansions add some more noise. The Rival Nomads is probably one of the easiest expansions to integrate because it just gives you an extra objective. And you know that throughout the whole game, and it only comes into the end. So it doesn't really affect during the game besides trying to work towards that objective, which the one example that they show in the components section of the rulebook is largest caravan. So, which makes sense and kind of fits slots in nicely with what you're already doing. The Jin rules are kind of interesting because it adds a bit more constrictions. The example that they have is place at least one teal camel. This means that one of your camels will always be teal, which could be very good for you if you were already in that, or it could be very bad for you. The fact that you can change these rules and keep them constantly rotating adds a bit of dynamicism that I think is really nice. The special watering holes I actually have a little bit of a problem with. Not because they're bad, I think they're interesting in their own way, but the fact that the oasis markers are blind, so you don't know if you're getting points, special goods, or extra camels, is very... oh, wait. I'm a liar. So I'm a liar. In every example, the watering holes are face up on the map, which means they are known. So once again, we have all information. There is no reason to hide anything. If you are supposed to gain a watering token, okay, it says take it and place it in front of you, but keep it face up. It doesn't say anything about keeping it face up or face down, which is why I had assumed it was face down to start. I think what confused me the most is that the gameplay requires the special tokens to be face up, which would have led me to believe that the other tokens are face down, but I see now that that is an incorrect assumption, which leads me to feel that in the simplification of the rulebook, they might have simplified it a little too much. Or I somehow can't actually pay attention and read at the same time. Both quite likely. I see, it has the side matching the map terrain face up. So one side is for river and the other side is for sand. So both sides are going to have points regardless of what happens. I can see how I got confused and why that might be a little bit easier to understand when having those components in front of you. So I apologize for that. But again, specifying that the special watering holes must be kept face up is really odd when all of the tokens are already kept face up. So I do think that adds a little bit of confusion, which not a fan of, clearly. The bazaars are interesting because it's really just a location A to location B goal. I don't know how much they're worth it. The 15 points seems like a good amount, but I don't really know from just reading the rule book which one of these things are giving you the most points. Whether it be the largest caravan tokens, the watering holes, the oases, or the enclosed hexes. Now, in the scoring example, the watering holes gave the most points, but the largest caravans and oases did come into a pretty close second. The enclosed hexes was the least, which does surprise me, but then it is a relatively small map, especially with so many players. One other thing that I find very interesting is that each player can have, I mean, I assume a four-player game for what I'm about to say, but each player can have one of each color, which means you can completely ignore one color and invest all into one, or you can diversify, which I'm not sure is the better, which is the better idea. You do get the tokens for largest caravan within a certain color, so diversifying to split among all of the colors might make you a leader of none in that regard, but it also might allow you to reach more areas than you could with just a single caravan. So there's an interesting trade-off there that I would be curious to explore. I think five players actually has one of the more interesting setup variants, which is each player returns one leader of a different color to the box. Now, on its face, this doesn't necessarily change too much, but every player here has four colors and is overlapping with at least three other players. However, it does mean that every player is not competing in one particular lane. And that can shift balances in ways that I'm not sure yet, but I think it's interesting that all players don't have to care about all colors in that setup of the game. Well, this one is something I'm quite interested in playing. So this seems like a very cute, short, sweet area control game with camels and very bright colors. I've never seen a purple camel before. I don't think I'll see a purple camel again. But hey, if you're making a game, why not make it fun, right? Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to check out MCG on other social media platforms or go to madecraftgame.com for more content. And I hope you enjoy playing the game.